In addition to being the third Sunday after Pentecost in the church's calendar, today has several other distinctions, all of which are worthy of some attention and perhaps of celebration. It is the third Sunday of June, and therefore Father's Day by presidential proclamation. It is also the day of the summer solstice, the first day of summer when we have our longest day and our shortest night of the year. And it is the second day of the 52nd Annual Governor's Cup Regatta at Carr Lake. I mention the regatta because I always feel a sense of irony when this event is held and today's gospel story is read on the same weekend. In fact, back in the days when I used to crew in this race, many years ago, I used the word crew loosely. It was said that I was providing ballast. Nevertheless, I was sailing with a friend who competed in the regatta. Now, although my sailing experience is very limited and long past, I remember well that it included not only quasi-competitive sailing on sometimes cloudless and windless summer days, and the relaxed pace of a race that you knew you were not going to win. It also involved getting caught in the middle of the lake by a sudden, relentless storm and battling frantically against wind and rain in the knowledge and the fear that I might lose. The real sailors among us might have a different opinion, but for a novice like me, becalmed is a lot better than swamped. The only sailing course I ever took ended with the instructor's admonition, "Whatever you do, get a good weather radio." I suspect that few, if any of us, though, have experienced the kind of storm that is described in today's gospel story. It came as Jesus had just ended a long day of teaching the crowds by the Sea of Galilee. After a little private session with his disciples about the parables that he had been teaching with, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." So the team set sail. Now, evening sailing was usually much safer than sailing earlier in the day when the wind often increased. But the geography of this small lake, and we aren't talking about Carr Lake size here, the geography of this small lake makes it prone to sudden and sometimes violent storms. What tornadoes are to the Midwest and hurricanes are to Florida, wind squalls are to the Sea of Galilee. Winds come off of the desert plateau and they drop down into the lake, which is below sea level, creating enormous waves. And on this occasion, a violent storm whipped up suddenly and it hit the boat full force. Waves were coming over the side. Some of the disciples, we know, were experienced fishermen, and they were undoubtedly familiar with the unpredictable weather patterns. But even with their skill and knowledge, they found themselves in a boat that was about to sink, and they feared for their lives. And Jesus, well, they took him as he was, and Jesus was tired. And so he was asleep in the stern with a pillow under his head, apparently unconcerned. All of this was too much for the disciples. In their desperation, they woke Jesus up and they accused him of not caring about what was happening to them, even though he was in the boat with them. Theirs was a cry for help, but what happened next took the disciples totally by surprise. But the gospel tells us that Jesus addressed the winds and the water with these words, "Peace, be still." And just as suddenly as the great windstorm had arisen, there was dead calm. This was not what the disciples expected. And if they were afraid before, they were really scared now. In simple terms, the fear the disciples experienced in the storm was the fear of dying. But after they woke Jesus up and the storm ceased, this fear took on a whole new dimension. Even though the danger had passed, they were in the presence of something they did not fully understand. Something that put who Jesus was in a new light. And they were more afraid than ever. For the disciples had just witnessed a power even greater than the storm that had almost drowned them. The story indicates that Jesus did not let their fear of that power go unchallenged. And I would submit that neither should we. On one level, this story strengthens and encourages us with the reminder that Jesus is with us in the crisis moments of our lives, and there is nothing he cannot do to keep us from ultimate harm. And so it has been that from the early days of its existence, the church has often been depicted as a boat with the mast and yardarm forming a cross and Jesus at the helm, with waves symbolizing the storms of life and the sails filled with wind, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, carrying the boat through the storms and safely into port. We are reminded as well of Jesus' presence amid the storms of our personal lives, a bad report from a lab test, the loss of a job, a troubled relationship. Whenever our world is collapsing around us and we are in despair, whenever the wind and waves of life threaten to overwhelm us, and we take comfort that Jesus is in the boat with us, and we claim the faith that he has the power to calm our fears and help us weather any storm, even though he may appear to be asleep. When we have exhausted our resources and exhausted our abilities, especially in these times, he is there. Not so much to calm the storm as to calm us as we ride the waves with him. But on another level, it seems to me, the story challenges us with the reminder of the power that is within us. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus kept moving through his ministry, always pushing the disciples along to the next community or grabbing a boat to journey to a new shore. We read in John's gospel how after his resurrection, Jesus came to his disciples and breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit to continue his work. "As the Father has sent me," he said, "so I send you." And in the book of Acts, we find that the disciples received the Holy Spirit in a very powerful way, like the rush of a mighty wind. And they were transformed in the very depth of their being. They were filled, they were possessed by the Holy Spirit and empowered to be the church. Empowered not only not to live only within their limits, but also to go everywhere, bringing with them the good news of Christ. Just as Jesus sent the first disciples, we too are being sent with the same Spirit and the same power. Yet we often underestimate the power that we possess. Frederick Buechner has said, "We have within us, each one of us, so much more power than we ever spend. Such misers of miracles are we, such pinch-penny guardians of grace." Perhaps we prefer it that way, so that nothing to which we have become accustomed will be disturbed. Perhaps we prefer to stay in safe, snug harbors, venturing out only in rowboats, dependent only on our own power, staying close to shore where the current will not take us off in unknown directions. Last Friday, June 19th, also known as Juneteenth, is another day worthy of recognition and celebration. And it is a reminder of what can happen when the evil forces of this world are confronted by the greater power of God that is within us. Juneteenth commemorates the day in 1865 when slaves in the last geographic area in America where slavery existed learned of their freedom. This took place in Galveston, Texas, when the Union General Gordon Granger read an order announcing that all slaves are free by proclamation of President Abraham Lincoln. The Emancipation Proclamation, of course, was signed by President Lincoln in September 1862 and was issued on January 1st, 1863. It took over 2.5 years for the news to travel to the coastal part of Texas, but it got there. Perhaps the people of God throughout history have been slow to put up our sails and catch the wind of God. Yet we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism. And just as Jesus' gift to us is the Holy Spirit, we are the Holy Spirit's gift to the world. The gospel challenges us to claim the power of the Spirit, to speak the truth boldly, as Jesus did, to advocate for the poor and the oppressed, as Jesus did, to weep with one another, as Jesus did. For the gospel always demands an answer to the question, do you not care? In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul spoke of the power working in us that is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. May God give us the grace to know and claim this healing, reconciling, transforming power for our church, for our community, and for our world. Amen.